Teaching them in the name of the Father, circumcision to every creature. Now, evangelism and the Word of God is a false subject, and we can do no better than to consider the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in the Great Commission, not only as recorded in Matthew and in Mark, but also in its extension in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, especially verse number 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Lord Judea, and Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. So the method of evangelism, word evangelism, was to be based upon teaching, preaching, and witnessing. They were to teach everything that our Lord had taught them. They were to be not disputers, not philosophers, not discussion group leaders, but called to be teachers, preachers, and proclaimers of God's revealed word. And they were to be witnesses, as is expressed in 1 John 1 and 1, what they have seen and heard, and of what their hands have handled of the word of life. That is the heart by which they were witness. A teacher educates, a preacher proclaims, a witness testifies to what he has seen and heard and of which he has personal knowledge. Now, this is the divine method for world evangelism, national evangelism, and global evangelism, because it must be church-based evangelism. Thus, teaching, preaching, and witnessing are the methods of communication authorized by the Triune God. The Trinitarian Bible Society exists to produce sound Bible translations going out to all nations, and our hope remains the Word of God to all nations. And so this Word of God must be set at the very heart of everything, because there can be no evangelism without one statistic, 75 million born-again people in the USA. Another, that 16,000 people have been added to the church in North and Central Africa. Another state, that thousands are making decisions for Christ and evangelistic crusades all over the USA and South America. Now sure, if such revivals were taking place, there would be a tremendous change or tremendous changes in lifestyles. Where are many of these people who have made these decisions for Christ and for the cause? How can so many be making these decisions for Christ with so little impact? We can ask these questions about the much boasted alpha course, which measures of feeling and sensation and experiences rather than of where we're called, rather than of good sound Bible theology. It comes to the conclusion that the success that many are looking for today has actually come to mean numbers and anything on how many decisions were made. And that is not the purpose of evangelism and growth. She is not obedience to the word of God, not faithfulness to the divinely appointed patterns of Scripture, but success they are looking for in worldly terms. God grant that it may never happen to the churches from which you and I have emerged today. The difficulty with regard to much of the evangelism around today is having a faulty theology and making a separation between faith and practice. A proper biblical theology will determine what we are to believe and display our truth. And what we believe will determine how we behave. And it is good at this point to remember some sound basic principles of evangelism, some of which were once expressed by the late Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones. A. The supreme object of evangelism is to glorify God. And we lay that principle on our meeting this morning. Nothing must come before this basic principle. B. The only power that can accomplish this work is not of God's holy word in the strength of God's Holy Spirit. C. The result of observing these basic principles will result in souls being born again, the elect of God, in reality and in truth. They will hear the truth of salvation by the word of God externally and by the inner application of it by the Spirit internally. See, an unsound theology accompanied by known biblical methods will create the Holy Spirit to enable born again souls to die for and more unto sin and to live for and more unto righteousness, producing a people of God with a real Christian lifestyle. We are to bring good news from the heavenly country. That is our commission. We have been anointed in the upper room. We are under the man comes in to preach, to teach, to witness, to convey this everlasting gospel far and wide. There must be reintroduced into evangelism today the preaching of the utter sinfulness of mankind. Not giving people initially the failure to wonder. And the Apostle Paul says, the purpose is to make the sinner sad. And then he be driven to the cross for redemption. Sin has corrupted our whole nature. So we are spiritually dead of ourselves, totally unable to turn to God. The human intellect, heart of Christ is blinded. Our understanding is darkened. Our will is exceeded to sin, so that the sinner is unable of himself or person to make a decision for Christ. Only the truth of God's word, by the work of the Holy Spirit, can effectually call a dead sinner into new life. Therefore, the conversion of a sinner to the Lord Jesus Christ is a gracious, merciful, sovereign work of divine power. In the man of time also of conversion, God is sovereign. If you look at the time of your own conversion, it is never man, but always God, who determines when the next sinner shall believe. It is the duty of the evangelist to preach the gospel, because faith issues from the preached word by the inner working of the Holy Spirit, and never from a so-called call for a decision. Much of the mass evangelism and crusades are founded upon a defective theology that a sinner can decide for himself or herself and by themselves to come or not to come to Christ. Modern evangelism, including Piper Dent in his better days, modern evangelism can create a crowd of false conversions. That's the danger. I know that God is all merciful. Through even the state, evangelism has brought souls into salvation through faith in Christ. I have them, dear Christian friends, today after many years. But only evangelism, in our evangelism, we must assert that a true conversion of Christ is the work of the triune God and not man. The Holy Spirit must do the persuading and the enabling to bring the sinner to Christ for redemption. According to Ian Murray, modern evangelism opens a way in which the self of the sinner and of the power of God is the main feature in conversion. Now, contrarians, church is responsible for conscience. The point of the apostles to conscience, which they did by preaching from the Old Testament scriptures. And believers were called out of death into life as the Spirit of the Lord applied the word internally. Now, evangelism then by the church should be a normal part of the church's life and witness. And the church should not leave it to outside societies, evangelistic associations, which are not under the discipline of the church, crusades likewise, and missions. These organizations are often made up of people with different forms of doctrine and practice, which can produce unsound and confused converts. Now take the so-called appeal, which often follows the spoken message in these crusades. It has similar defects to so-called decisional regeneration. This is the evangelist making the so-called appeal. This is the evangelist seeking to do the work of the Holy Spirit. And it's absolutely wrong. Can they have an idea today? Now the appeal must be inside the sermon, must be inside the preacher. Going back to the month of January in the year 1811, Dr. Henry Cook, who saved the Irish Presbyterian Church from being submerged into Unitarianism, preached his first communion sermon in the Donegal County Antrim Presbyterian Church. And he closed the communion sermon with the following words, which should be ordained to preaching in the 21st century. I'm quoting directly from Dr. Henry Cook, the year 1811. But here is the pattern for today. The minister of the gospel is commanded to preach Christ, but he cannot